Okay, so we're in our, as Neil pointed out to me before we started this thing today, what we're doing here is, just to clarify, we're just trying to get a basic synopsis of different, some of the primary sources or not as primary sources in regards to some of the issues that people discuss when they talk about what could potentially be wrong by abortion. As we've already discussed, it's not entirely clear that there is an issur in the Torah called abortion, but there are also other issurim in the Torah that the doing an abortion or inducing an abortion would be categorized under one of those other prohibitions. So we're, again, just trying to get a feel for what all these different things are, so this way when we hopefully, I assume probably next week already, start looking through some of the more contemporary responsa, the Chavot will actually have an idea of what they're talking about and realize, you know, be able to, it'll be easier to understand what they're, the different things that they're balancing. So today, since we already talked about this Mishnah about abortion, the Mishnah Noodot, today I wanted to talk about a potentially different Isser in abortion, and that is the Isser of Shchatat Zera, wasting sperm. Well, obviously, if you are inducing an abortion, one of the things that you're doing is the sperm cell that fertilized this egg is now not being utilized to create life. So you are killing sperm. So the question is, there's a lot of questions, but some of the questions are, where does this come from? Is this even relevant? And what are we going to do with this? Now, since this, where we took a step back, right, where we were focusing on abortion, but since we're trying to figure out under what issur it's categorized under, and now I'm going to Ashkatat Zera, now, it's obviously going to encompass a lot of other things as well. It's not just limited to abortion. There's a lot of other potentially issurim involved under this thing called Hashchatat Zera, wasting sperm. We have to figure out what exactly that is and what those some of those other things might be. So today I'm basically just going to do a quick little journey through some of these things. Depending on how interesting we find it, maybe we'll do it more than 1 week. We'll see how it goes, or we'll just skip ahead and we'll decide that that's enough. One interesting application of this can be, I don't know if anyone saw, but there's apparently this new clinical trial for male contraception, where what they do is they basically give you a testosterone gel. It's still in trial. I think it's phase 2. They give you this gel, and the idea is that it was, I think the idea is some of the lines of, I think it's a testosterone hormone, so it works based on negative feedback. So it tells your body thinks it has a lot of testosterone, so it stops producing testosterone, so you won't have a potent sperm, so you won't be able to actually impregnate a woman. That's in general the idea. Is there any issur in doing this? If we are arguing that there's an, if we, skipping a little bit ahead, but if we'll argue that there's, let's say, an issur to use a condom, for example, because you're preventing sperm from being able to do what they do, will there then also be an issur using this sort of contraception that, again, is preventing sperm from doing what it can do?
What's the mechanism of action in the gel? Because
It's like birth control, but with testosterone.
That I understand. Presumably, the mechanism is that it cuts down on the amount of viable sperm in the ejaculate. It doesn't change the behavior of the sperm.
So I think that that's right.
So that
it should be less of a problem then, because.
But is there an issue of serous then?
You haven't produced sperm that is then discarded.
So that's one way of thinking about it. I mean, the other way. So let me give you a different example of something that is actually used. So there are two different types of spermicides, right? All right, so spermicide, the idea is, right, you put a gel in the vagina, and it will prevent the sperm from being able to fertilize an egg. The classic spermicide is toxic. It kills the sperm cells. Right? The newer types of spermicide don't kill sperm cells. They just make the atmosphere, the vaginal area, is conducive for sperm, whatever, know how to survive in this environment, and are able to make it up to fertilize the egg. Apparently, whatever this thing is, the spermicide causes sperm to be less mobile. They can't move. They don't kill them. It just prevents them from being able to travel. So there'd then be a difference depending on which spermicide you're using. Would that make a difference based on your argument? Because I'm not actually killing sperm. I'm just preventing their movement. Right?
Well, the question is back to one of waste.
They're being wasted.
Right. In this example, they're not being... There's no... If the method of action is it prevents the generation... perhaps it's Cirrus, you're chemically castrating in a relevant sense the...
Though temporarily.
But there isn't, if the, I mean, again, the, if what we care about is not the physical ejaculate, but rather the specific sperm cells within it, then there aren't any, and there never were any.
Yeah, that's, I mean, again, that's potentially a reason why this might be even better.
Right.
Okay, full cards to the table. I don't think there's any issue in using this contraceptive. I can't imagine there's, even the SARS thing, I don't think it's a real SARS issue. So I have a hard time imagining that there's anything wrong with this at all. But yeah, that's, but that would be considered a potential issue. I mean, this is always an issue, right? This is the problem. Okay, I'll give you some primary sources, and I'll tell you all the problems that I have with my primary sources and trying to understand what this means and trying to figure out how to apply it in any way outside of what the primary sources tell me that I'm able to use them as. So I have a couple of different they're very few, which is why my sources are weird. But let's call it Isseminatol, right? We have some sources that tell me that this is prohibited midoraisa. It's not just
hashchatat
zera, wasting sperm. Again, we still haven't clarified which context would be wasting sperm. So we haven't discussed details. We just want to establish that there is a concept called wasting sperm. We're assuming there's a concept called wasting sperm. And then we now want to figure out, okay, whatever that concept is, what category is this thing? Is this deraita? Is this derabanan? Is this, I don't know, something else?
Prohibition.
Yeah, that's exactly the question. That's the first question. Let's just figure out what we're dealing with, and then we'll figure out what details with how exactly we could potentially play with this. So the first, the best source we have is a smak sefer mitzvot ktanot, right? He counts all the mitzvot in the Torah. His mitzvah reish tzadi beis is lo tinof, which is basically a way of saying do not waste sperm, right? Okay.
Isn't that one of the
sources? No, you're Lotinov?
Lotinov.
Yeah,
so he's using it as...
Exactly right.
Yeah, so he's using it as a... when he describes it, if I recall correctly, he's not talking about adultery, he's encompassing in that wasting sperm.
I don't understand. What,
I didn't give the full quote, but I'm pretty sure in this full quote.
Yeah. We're now embarking on a journey to justify a concept of lotin of hashkata zera.
Well, we're doing a step back. We
don't even know that there's such a thing.
Right. So I'm doing it backwards. I'm first establishing that this thing exists under some sort of rubric. And then afterwards, we'll try to figure out where it actually comes from. So I don't think I have those sources here, actually. I don't. But most of the sources you're going to get from where you see a concept of Hashchatat Zera in the Torah is you're going to quote a couple of different midrashim, which may or may not be relevant to this conversation, which is why I didn't use them. But if you want me to offer you some sort of primary, older source, the classic midrash is El Vilanan, right? Yehuda's sons both die. Right, so why do Yehuda's sons die? It's unclear. Apparently, one of the reasons why the midrashic explanation for why they died, and the Gemara says it also, why they died was because apparently he was dashmi v'fnim mizdorei mibachutz. Yeah, a withdrawal method. Right. He didn't want to get his wife pregnant, so he used and apparently his brother did the same thing. And what is the issa with coitus interruptus? Right, is at least the assumption is that the issa is hashchatat zera. Wasting sperm.
How do you get from this story to this being history?
Oh, that's a whole other
So that's why we're having a little bit of trouble.
Okay.
Yeah, you're okay. Pinpointing the issue.
Okay,
slow down, Rob.
But I will say, and I don't think I quoted it here. Okay. I will say that it is quoted in halacha,
okay, fine.
Right?
Okay.
Shulchan Aruch quotes it.
Okay, fine.
Right, us coming up with the reason of where this comes from is we're filling in blanks. But bottom line, which is a weird way phrase to use in this context, but we know is that it is quoted. Now the question is, now that I know that it's quoted, let's talk about what level of isser is this thing, right? Because again, this can make a difference because this comes up a lot, right? If you tell me, okay, I'm just going to talk out loud because it's going to be harder doing it. Let's talk for a second. Here's what we're going to have a problem when you're talking about Ashkata Tzera. Because if you're telling me that the Isser is wasting sperm, and I take this Isser literally, right? Any time that sperm is wasted, I get very, very, very confused. Because what do you mean by sperm is wasted? Right? Does that mean that I'm only allowed to sleep with my wife when she's ovulating? Is sperm being useful, meaning that I'm utilizing it in order to impregnate someone? Is that the useful definition of sperm? Right? If so...
What about all the other ones? Because only one hits the jackpot.
So then maybe I have no choice. I don't know, but you're right. Maybe I get all confused. What happens, right? Only one's actually getting in. What am I supposed to do?
What about the rest of them?
Maybe it's just natural process. I have no choice. Because all of them had an equal chance of getting in there, right? Maybe all of them could have been the... Maybe that's not a shchata tzera because all of them tried their best. Right? But I'm confused. You understand my confusion. I'm also... right? So are we? So obviously I don't mean just wasting sperm can't be limited to... trying to impregnate someone, right? Because, again, then I'm limited. That's the first way I'm limited. Right. All the way I'm limited is, I know, at least if you're Ashkenazi, I think Sfadim are Machmir, but at least for an Ashkenazim, right, you're allowed to have Biyash Lokadalka, right, which is basically sleeping with your wife, not in a way that will result in pregnancy, right? So if you're allowed to do that, then obviously, right, that includes ejaculation. So that includes sperm obviously not being utilized to impregnate someone, right? So clearly, it cannot be that whatever ashkata zera levatala, this wasting thing, obviously cannot mean wasting means, although it has to, the useful purpose is to impregnate someone.
It can't be exclusively to impregnate.
Correct. Very good. Because what are you pointing out to? What are you thinking of? Why you say this?
Well, there's all sorts of things. What do you mean? It's not just one thing. But an IVF, for instance.
To talk about IVF, that's what I wanted for you. I wanted that IVF. Because, right, otherwise I would argue, I potentially can argue, that if, let's say, it's not that, it's something else, and it is not to impregnate someone, then in order to give a sperm sample, in order to be able to do IVF, right, you need to get sperm in a cup, right? In order to do that, that might also then be an ister, right? Because I've wasted sperm because it was... sorry, if I'm just using about this, then there is no Isser because this sperm is now being utilized to impregnate someone. That's why it's here. My nafkimina, what do I care how exactly it took the route to fertilize an egg? I could do it. It could go through a cup and get there, and it can go into the vaginal canal and get there. What do I care which way it took? But I do care because there are posts that will care. It's not. We're still in the abortion part, so we'll get to the IVF thing a little bit later. But we'll see that this actually is a big deal. That's one thing we have to think about. The other thing we also have to think about from the other side of all this is if it's not, if clearly this is not just wasting, it's clearly not just within a context of impregnating someone, then one of the ways that it would make sense to argue that would then be mutter is as long as you are using sperm in some sort of bia-like way, in some sort of sexual way, then that would be also mutter. As long as it's being done let's call it within, as opposed to outside, right? As long as it's being done inside the woman, apparently we don't necessarily care whether or not it's in the vagina or elsewhere, but as long as it's being done inside the woman, as long as that's where the ejaculate is going, then it will be mutter. Potentially. That'll be my other side, right? And again, I get very, very confused, because again, if we're calling it levatala, right, we know that it's not like you're going to run out. Right, so you have your body's going to keep making more and more sperm, right? So what if your wife's anita? You anyway can't sleep with her. What if you're not married? You have no wife to impregnate, right? Why in any one of those situations would I be arguing that there is some sort of prohibition of hotzal tzegla batara? Why am I arguing that there's some sort of issue of wasting sperm in that situation? This sperm is never going to be used to impregnate someone. It can't be used to impregnate someone.
Right, but you're arguing now about medical knowledge that's relatively recent. The idea that it's not a... It's only relatively recently we know that it's produced within the body, it expires within the body. If it does not exit the body, it dies and is
discarded.
That it is not the case that you kind of have an amount of it. I mean, think about the clot. I mean,
it's not like eggs.
But also, if you look at sort of pre-modern medical literature, it was full of this idea of like the reduction of vigor that takes right because there's this idea that there must be something very potent because it's the thing that creates life, and so while it's in your body, it is a form of vigor that you have that then you expend and you lose.
I think also the medieval idea was that the sperm actually contained the human, the primordial human.
Right, but it was also represented like the vigor of the person, that, right. and there was a finite amount of it. So, right. So I think that that's a very modern argument to say, well, not that there's a finite amount. Like every one of the sorts you have here are presumably going to be working under the assumption that there, in fact, is some level of finitude to this, and you could be using it up.
Except for one. I have Rishul Mazabin, he's the one who says this first. But obviously, it's to your point.
Yeah, fine. Right. You get the mid-20th century.
You understand how this works.
You already had an idea.
Exactly. But again, my point is, when I try to think about this logically with exactly your point, with this modern medicine context, I get very, very confused. Right? I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand why you're bothering me. Right. So this Chabura is an attempt to illustrate my confusion a little bit better. But it's not to clarify anything, it's just to illustrate the confusion. But bottom line is, what I do know is Shulchan Aruch codifies that there is this Isser called Ashchatat Zera. What we're trying to do is try to figure out what this is, and what context does it apply, and how does that potentially change. By the way, just to add on to what we were saying before, because one of our, because the way I decided to phrase this was, within would be mutter, right? Anytime that you're producing an ejaculate, in the context of bia, of sex, right? Then I would then that would also explain why I have a Mishnah that potentially tells me that I'm not allowed to use a condom, right? Because I would then have to argue that a condom means that I'm not actually having within, right? This is not actually considered inside the woman. This is considered you ejaculating into a piece of plastic. Right? Whatever, it happens to be there's a woman on the other side, but that's not really relevant, right? Wow.
But then you still have this problem for those who want to use it in the context of the abortion debate.
What do you mean?
Because you don't have any of the normal mechanisms that the normal mechanisms that typify levatala are absent. It's right, it was done within. It was done without some sort of a mechanical intermediary. In fact, it made it all the way through to fertilization.
Correct. Except
and yet.
Yeah, so what I would so to clarify what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to explain that there are two heterim, two situations where I do not call this thing batala. Two situations where I don't say it's wasting. One situation is a pregnancy conversation. One is when an egg got fertilized. And second conversation is, and again, I'm totally oversimplifying. We're going to have to actually see how the Chuvot use this, and people clearly disagree with this distinction. But the two things we have to think about is one, when an egg has gotten fertilized and someone's gotten pregnant, and two is when it's been done, as I'm calling it, within. Right? Right. So you're right. I'm not saying they're mutually exclusive.
Okay.
So just because you were able to, you know, you clearly slept with a woman and that's how she got pregnant, right? Obviously, the sperm went inside of her, right? There still could be an abortion issue because of reason number one. There are a shchatat zera issue because of reason number one.
I hear, but I think that you're. I mean, we'll see how it plays out. But cards on the table, right? It seems that it'd be very difficult to leverage shchatat zera levatala as the basis for the prohibition without encompassing, without ejecting the entire heter of within. Because there are too many contexts where the heter of within come into play outside of any possible pregnancy context. You know, a married couple who the woman is postmenopausal.
Yeah, but right. I'm just saying there's two situations.
Right, but
I'm rejecting either one. I'm saying I need both. But there are both reasons.
Right, what I'm saying is that if they're both reasons and they're both mutually if they're independently sufficient.
Unless the other one applies.
So you're saying that...
I'm doing it in both directions.
That in the context where pregnancy is the goal or the result, then you lose the heter within.
O shekel shelo. In other words, what I mean to say is, if pregnancy, for the abortion situation, right, true, I had the heter within, but now something got pregnant, and then I wasted that sperm, so then I have an issue, potentially an isser of ashchatat zera, potentially, right? And on the other way around... If we're talking about the reason why I am ejaculating sperm into a cup is in order to do IVF and in order to impregnate someone, that might also not be enough because it could be the only way I can get this is if I'm putting it into a woman. And the fact that I put it into a cup wasn't good enough. There's just, right? No, but they still need each other. They're not in isolation. There's a Venn diagram that's heavily overlapped.
Yeah,
we'll see how it plays out, but this is that's the question. All right. So first of all, Most thing we want to know is, what is this? Is this Deraisa, Derabana? What are we talking about? So overall, it seems that a lot of the people seem to think, or at least certain class of poskim, call it a Deraisa. Moshe Feinstein is the Rambam never counts Ashchad Zela as one of the Talmud Mitzvot. And Moshe Feinstein solves that problem. Umashe lo nimna, and obviously problem is because he wants to call it an Issa Deoraita, so he needs to have it one in the Talmud Mitzvot. Rambam doesn't count it, so he solves his own problem. Umashe lo nimna miminyan alavin. Why wasn't this counted as one of the Lavim? Obviously, it's not because this thing is not a Deoraita. Obviously, it's still prohibited biblically. Why? There are many Yisurim that were not counted. He doesn't give me examples. He says, maybe because in the Torah, there's a rule in general that when you have something in Avera, there's two parts. One is it tells you the punishment, and two is it gives you a warning. You need to have both in the Torah. So here, there was no Azhara. It only told you that there was a Misa, that there's an Isser Misa B'dei Shemayim, at least, that you are the punishment for Ashchat Zera is death by heaven, which is not the same thing as Karis, right? Karis is more Chamor. Misa B'dei Shemayim is less, much, much less. So apparently, because there was no Azhara, so it just didn't fill the requirements of being included as one of the Lavin, but it's still Usser.
And the Mita you talk about here is Erevin Onan.
Is what?
He's using the story of Erevin Onan.
Yeah. Erevin Onan is the proof for this, the fact that you obviously get killed for Ashchat Zera is because Erevin Onan used the withdrawal method, so clearly they were being Mashchit Zera, and therefore there's why it's a Misa B'dei Shemayim. I would point out that based on the framework that I just gave, it's our introductory framework, we're skipping ahead, right? The Erevin Onan is not strictly an Isser of Ashchat Zera, as in I'm just wasting sperm. I'm the just on your own doing whatever it is that you're doing. This is totally different. This is not only are you married, but you're literally making sure that your wife's not getting pregnant. Within the process of actually sleeping with her, you are you're using the withdrawal method, right? You're coitus interruptus. You're preventing it from happening. This is like the worst of both worlds,
right? And you also need the midrashic understanding that includes error. Otherwise, Onan's only doing the context of his reasoning seems to be different. His specific objection seems to be he wants to prevent his brother from having the kind of the legacy produced through that what's the levirate and yeah, even in English there's a word the levirate marriage no yeah through the levirate marriage.
Yes. Now the Kirat Sefer to the Ma'abit says Kol Ma She'asa Torah Be'arayot. Right? Any all the surim in the Torah about arayos, right? All the different ways that you're not allowed to sleep with one of the arayot, the woman that you're not allowed to be with. Everything is mutter with your wife. Ben kedaka ben shelo kedaka, right? That means sleep with them a normal way, not regular way. Kedachsim mishkev isha. The mashma the shtei mishkevot yeshla liisha. Right? The pasuk says mishkevei isha, plural, sleeping with your wife. In other words, there's more than one way to sleep with your wife. There's kedaka and there's shelo kedaka. But you cannot be motzi shivchat zera levatala. Dechsiv kilo lo yehazera v'shachat arza v'ira b'inei Hashem. Right. So he seems to imply, unlike Tosfot, which I didn't show you here, but I think is going to show up later. Unlike Tosfot, which says that when you are sleeping with your wife, even if it's how do you say it in
say it in Hebrew better. Bia
shalokedalka, right? Then in that situation, it doesn't matter if you're also motzizera, right? If you also ejaculate in that situation, it's also okay. But when the Ma'abit says in that situation, shalokadalka, yes, you're allowed to do the act of shalokadalka, but you're not allowed to finish shalokadalka. You have to do it.
And he quotes the pasuk by Onan.
Yes, exactly.
Is that the actual pasuk from the Torah?
Yeah, the pasuk from Onan. Right,
it says those words.
Yeah,
yes.
He lo yazar. Right. The it wouldn't be his.
Right.
The shechet art savi, and he wasted on the ground, and that was bad for God. In the eyes of God.
Which is, by the way, his example is different than coitus interruptus, right?
Yeah.
And he's still using it to encompass that. Right. Okay. So one is we have a deraisa. The other one is halacha mosh le'sinai. What's the real nafka between the two? Practically for us, probably little, but just interesting anyway. So we have an arach l'ner that says, "Begemara kiyunu mevi mabul olam." By the way, the other source, the other midrashic source, the Gemara again, I got it the Gemara source for this Isser is apparently what did Dor HaMabul do wrong? One of the things that Dor HaMabul did wrong, right, the Noach's generation, they apparently also wasted sperm. That's on the list of things. So that's why the Gemara says someone who wastes sperm is as if he's causing a flood, because that's one of the reasons why they got flooded. So Mizeh Ochichu Ramban, Haraj Bet Aran, all very important Rishonim. Negam Isha Mitzuv Al Hashchatat Zera Negad Harbeinu Tam. Clearly, that a woman is also Chayv in Hashchatat Zera. It is not limited just to men, right? So classically, or at least according to Rabbeinu Tam, the reason why only men have an Isra of Hashchatat Zera. Women do not have this Isra, which obviously would be quite important for us, because if a woman's the one doing the abortion, then it could potentially be a totally different question. If it's the Isra is only Hashchatat Zera, then if it's only a prohibition on women, not on men, a woman to assist in a way that would kill sperm. So, for example, if she would clean out the area after they sleep together, and that would result in sperm getting wasted.
You're a spermicide example.
You just apply a spermicide, take a medicine.
Yeah, so spermicide might be a little bit more complicated just because by spermicide, you're right, she is the one that did the action, and it's in her body, so to speak, but it's it's there first, right?
You can apply it after it's not effective.
Okay. So if you apply it afterwards, then yeah, that would be the same situation.
In fact, I think that's the... When those things are discussed in medieval literature, that's almost certainly what they're talking about. Some sort of
putting it afterwards.
Herbalist witchcraft, voodoo stuff. But that's the idea, right? Like they know what they're doing, but
they've been using any number of non-modern methods of avoiding pregnancy.
Yeah, so there you go.
Before there was birth control, it was the shaken up Coke bottle.
Yeah. What do you do with the shaken up Coke bottle?
You make it very, you
make
spray
it very fizzy.
Oh, you spray inside.
Yeah, you right.
It sounds very unhygienic.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Why?
Sounds like a good way to get an infection, huh?
Probably.
Why?
Sugar? I don't know.
Fresh bottle?
The theory is that you have, you know, acid, whatever.
All right, fine. Yeah, okay. Fine. That's Nishmas Avraham. By the way, it's the Nishmas Avraham that I was just quoting before, so I'm not even going to bother reading it right now. But he basically points out, he's like, what are you talking about? That I don't understand the sister of Hashchatat Zera. By the way, I was thinking this, and I saw him, he's like, this is why Rishon Lezion is my favorite, because he says everything so eloquently. But he basically points out the point. He's like, what are you talking about, right? Any situation where you are in a, anytime you're in a situation where, for whatever reason, pregnancy will not happen now, why should there be a prohibition of Hashchatat Zera? Leave me alone. Like, it's clearly not a problem. All right, if we look at these sources,
where are we looking?
Let's continue on. Mikorot Leisel Midoraisa, right? So, Igot Moshe, it's the second to last paragraph on this page, right? So, Igot Moshe says, again, it's in the middle of the same, same one, yeah, it's the same one, right? He continues, and he says, "Otzatzal batalis midoraisa yuchai misa." That's what he had said before, and b'shulchan aruch it even says, and again, this is why we care, because it's being codified. She'avon zeh chamo mikol averot, right? This avera is worse than every other avera. There are a lot of averas that are worse than every other avera, but this is one of those averas that are worse than every other avera. The Tosfot de Nivamot says, right, this is our Tosfot where this thing starts off. The Mishnah says, right? Shalosh nashim mishamshot b'moch. There are three women that are allowed to use a moch. Moch is clearly some sort of condom. It's something that they put inside in order to prevent.
Yeah, modern condom, we call it diaphragm.
It's probably not even a diaphragm though, because I think it's sticking out also. Right? A diaphragm is totally inside. Right, so this is also sticking out somehow, I think. All right. Why mishmashchatat zera? Women are not allowed to use this thing because it's an isra b'shchatat zera. But if you skip to the next bold, Rabbi Nutam Omer, Tosfot argues that lifnei tashmish v'aday aser litin shamoch, before they sleep together, you're not allowed to put in a moch. Why? The end of tashmish b'kach. Because again, we said one of the ways that you're allowed to waste sperm, so to speak, or use sperm, is within the context of sleeping with your wife. So when you put something in the way, there's something physical there, that's not considered a regular tashmish. But if she puts in this thing, again, I guess the spermicide, whatever it was, she's cleaning up after they sleep together, it's not mutter. The man's doing it the way he's doing, and a woman, the woman is not that's cleaning up afterwards, she does not have an isra of a shchatat zera, because, very simply, she doesn't have a mitzvah pru revu. She doesn't have a mitzvah pru revu, so she can't have the converse avera of getting rid of sperm, because she doesn't have a mitzvah to have kids. So because she doesn't have to have kids, who cares what she does with sperm? One's not, she's clearly not relevant to her, and therefore she's allowed to do it afterwards. I went very fast. Is that good? And the Vosht uses, again, very similar language. Right, the only reason why men have sperm is in order to be able to have kids. Clearly, this doesn't fit within the exact model that we were talking about. And then he quotes the Dor HaMabul, they did something wrong, and also El Vilnan are also doing something wrong. And Rashi also in Shabbos, and the next source, also counts, talks about Dor HaMabul, Zekir Kudosh Dor HaMabul. Right, this is what the generation of the flood did wrong. They were also matim shivchatzer levatara. All right. And then we have the shut rav paalim. Right, he is also obviously talking about the same thing. Ve'od im isa shchatat zera tali b'zem nishu me'abed zera sheroi leholid im ken ye adam asa shamshim ishtoi ktana oskena or islandus ve'akara. Right, if you're telling me that mashkit zera is any situation where a woman won't be able to get pregnant, same exact point of Shlomo Zalman, so then you're going to end up in an iser, right? You're not going to be allowed to sleep with someone who can't give birth, right? So kain akain mochachat aloma delot tali habeha. These are two totally separate things. Iser hashchat zera la mishum shegorem sheilech hazera leibud. It's not because you're causing sperm to get lost below halada. By the way, I skipped to the next bold, right? That was obvious what I did. Ella isu mishum de mashich zal b'makom shelochu tolo lahashlich. You are throwing your sperm somewhere where you're not allowed to put it. In other words, the within method that I was using. You'll note that a lot of these mefarshim, what they're doing is they're clearly picking one, right? Either they're talking about it has to be something that will impregnate someone, as the Levush before, or with using this Rav Palim, they're talking about something that it has to be within the right context, right? It has to be within the person. I'm arguing that in order for this to really make sense in all areas, you really have to have both. You can't really have one or the other one.
Well, I think that if you were to push hard enough on the earlier Rishonim, they would presumably, I mean, look, we're talking about a pre-medical.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, well, look, Sarah, you may have got pregnant after one would have thought it would have been impossible. So don't tell me that there exists a category of within where pregnancy can't happen. And I can basically say that all of these are always going to be presumably leading to a potential pregnancy.
And what do you do with now that I know that's not true?
Yeah, then you can't. That's irrelevant. Then you can't use any of those reasons. Right, or all of those rishonim.
When you say that, it was presented when Sarah became pregnant. It was a miracle, mm-hmm. And we're asked not to expect miracles in our everyday life.
True, but I think that but we do see.
We see a lot of kids born 10 years after their next sibling.
Yeah.
And that person definitely wasn't expected, and everyone thought the mother couldn't give birth anymore.
That I agree with, but I think that even in the time of Tanakh, they knew that once menses has ceased, pregnancy isn't possible, except that they have examples in Tanakh where it did happen. Again, those are miraculous examples. We do see Rishonim relying on miraculous examples in Tanakh as ways of getting out of otherwise impossible situations.
Do you have proof for this, though? I don't think they would use it here.
I'm not saying they would, but I'm saying they have to. I mean, how else would you use it?
How else could you justify it? How it has to lead to a pregnancy?
Otherwise,
Well, actually, I just really quoted a Lavush more than anybody else, right? Lavush is an Achlan. He's just, he has his Shita of
the... Yeah, but this discussion that, which we see in the context of the... Once I can go back. I guess it's right. So only the Lavush is the one who so strongly links it to pregnancy. But Lavush is also pre-modern. So fine. So the Lavush, so this is a problem for the Lavush.
Fine.
So the Lavush would have to make some sort of recourse to the idea that you'll never know for sure. The pregnancy can't happen. And the question then to the Lavush is, well, there are times where we could, you know, a woman who's had a hysterectomy, right, is, and then at which point the Lavush might say, yeah, and then there, he, I wonder if he's boxed himself to a corner and he'd have to say, counter to what we think is the normal, obvious answer, yeah, under that circumstance, Tashmish would be usher.
Yeah, here's the problem that I have with a lot of these, which I think is what you're sort of alluding to as well, is a lot of times when you're reading some of these, it sounds like they're getting off on this tangent of like some sort of Musar speech at one point. It doesn't sound halachic, but then it's within a halachic work, so you don't know what to do with it, right? Because like when the Beis Yosef quotes it in Shulchan Aruch, fine, that's a halachic statement, I'm done. Like I have a very few, I can't, up until the Beis Yosef codifies it, I could just say some Midrash and leave me alone.
Well, right? But the Beis Yosef isn't the one specifying that it's because the purpose of...
correct, right.
So when Lavush comes along and says, this is because of the tight coupling between sperm and pregnancy as its telos, and any time you're negating its telos, you are engaging in hashchata derlevatala,
mm-hmm.
He's presumably boxed himself into a corner whereby if you render pregnancy an impossibility, you have to refrain from time.
Yes, except that we do have this concept called islandness, and we do have, you know, katana. Like, they know these people can't get pregnant.
Well, but Lavush might have to make sort of mystical argument. Well, they could.
Why they maybe theoretically could have.
Yeah.
It doesn't make the argument, so we're adding it into him, but I hear why you say he has to do that. Otherwise, I mean, the other way of reading it is just saying, listen, he's clearly going off on some sort of Muslim speech over here, and that's not really, he doesn't mean this so literally. But you're right.
By the way,
otherwise I get stuck.
And then it's very unclear how you could use a Lavush as an actual source to rely on for anything.
Well, it was just for this. I would limit it to this case.
But the Lavush explains that Lavush's case is about whenever it's not going to result in pregnancy. That's the Lavush's case. It's not a case. It's all cases.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. I mean, just this Lavush. But yes. Yeah. Exactly. I'd have a hard time figuring out how to use the Lavush. Fine. Granted. The other thing we should just point out, I'll probably stop with this pointing out this last thing over here. Actually, let's go a little bit more.
Actually, a better question for Lavush. I mean, I think even Lavush would have to say, what about a pregnant woman?
No, so a pregnant woman, this is interesting. So hold on, we have sources. Let's do the Tosfos of Rosh first, right? What if after you had Bia, Vila Achar Tashmish, right, the bold, right, after Tashmish, after they sleep together, there's no Isser anymore, after the Shal Nashim, even for other women, Af Imak Pidi Ashchatat Zera, the Lomikir Ashchatat Zera, Ela, Bemishigore Maide Chimam Shemati Zera, Vatala Bena Isha Bena Isha. Meaning that the iser of ashchatat zera, the iser of wasting sperm, is only if the ejaculate wasn't acquired in a situation that was otherwise mutter. Meaning, you know, you don't have to make sure. I don't know. You don't have to after you sleep with your wife. She doesn't have to stand on her head to make sure nothing drips out because that would be ashchatat zera, right? Obviously, that's ridiculous. Right, because the whole thing was mutter. There's no iser of things. The whole action was done. That was mutter. There's no iser of things afterwards from here. Yeah, which is, by the way, going to be used. Well, people are going to end up utilizing that. That's why they come up for the IVF people, right? The ones that are coming up with all these different. They want to satisfy certain people's positions, so they're basically coming up with ways to get the ejaculate after intercourse. That's the idea, right? So that's where they get this concept from. It's from this Tosfos, not the Otzah. Yeah? Which, by the way, if we're going to use that in an abortion context, which we shouldn't, but if we will, then you have your case again, right? Because you're going to argue that this zera is not hashchata anymore. Because this zera fertilized an egg after it came out in a totally normal way, right? Mm-hmm.
It may or may not have fertilized an egg, but
for an abortion situation, right? So I'm obviously going to kill... sperm that fertilized an egg, but that's not an Ashchat HaTzera issue. Maybe it might be something else, but it's not an Ashchat HaTzera because I was allowed to, after we acquired the ejaculate in a halachically permissible way, whatever happens subsequent to that is fine.
I'm surprised that it's still considered Zera at that point once it's...
Well, that is its own
creative... How about, as you say, a woman that can't currently get pregnant? So the Ritva says, Afagav de legabe dida sharin in limbo the ila she'im bazera, kagon tana, omu beret, oskeina, or akara, right? All these women are women that cannot get pregnant. Someone who's young, someone who's currently pregnant. Can't get pregnant twice, except for that one case in India, apparently.
You can.
The India case you're talking about.
Oh. In general, it happens pretty infrequently.
You have fraternal twins. The second
fertilization can actually happen separately from the first fertilization.
You wouldn't expect it to happen, though. So it would
doesn't happen. A second.
The fertilizations don't have to happen concurrently.
The implantation does.
Basically, yeah.
So I'm going to go with that. We can also, we'll have another conversation, right? Also, part of a problem here is going to be, part of our sources of all this, right, is what? Let's say a morning after pill. Is a morning after pill an abortion? So I don't know. But I don't know what abortion is. But I do know the Isser of Ashchat HaTzera. Is there an Isser of Ashchat HaTzera by taking a morning after pill? What did I do? How does morning after pill work?
Morning after pill
prevents implantation, right? That's the idea.
Prevents anything from happening.
Basically. No, the egg got fertilized. The egg will get fertilized. It just won't be able to implant it to the uterus. Right? That's the idea.
I read something literally last week, and I can't remember.
No, but that's the idea. The idea is the egg will still get fertilized. It just won't be able to implant. That's the concept. Because you manipulate the hormones.
Hallie's going to have so many questions when she sees my search history.
right? That's the general idea. So in that situation, right, if the Isser is a Ashchat HaTzera, right, then there might still be a problem here. Because I'm, in theory, wasting the sperm that fertilized this egg. But if the Isser is
don't hold like Rabbeinu Tam or Zozera.
So there we go. So let's play around with this, right? So one thing is I have this Rabbeinu Tam, right? That tells me that as long as I acquired this ejaculate in the appropriate way, then it's fine, right? So who cares what happens afterwards? So I don't have a Ashchat HaTzera issue. If the argument is a woman doesn't have an Isser of Ashchat HaTzera, which is also Rabbeinu Tam, coincidentally.
Right. The other one says on the rush.
What?
The other one says on the rush.
Yes.
Right.
Then, right, a woman's not doesn't have this prohibition, then who cares what she does? She could take whatever she wants, right? What difference does it make? Yeah.
The business with the morning after pill is there's a very early pill that simply prevents the egg from being fertilized.
So I think you mean it prevents the egg from being released, maybe, right?
Released from the ovary.
No. Being released from the ovary.
That also prevents fertilization if it hasn't left the ovary.
Prevents the implantation if the first pill didn't prevent the egg from getting fertilized.
Correct, but I don't
only need the first one.
Well, if you get it early enough, you'd have to catch it.
You have to have it within 72 hours.
Right. Granted, because it works both. Because you could sleep with someone, right, and then that sperm can then fertilize an egg that has not yet been released at the time that they slept together. That's what the first pill is preventing. The second pill is pressed if the egg already gets fertilized, it'll prevent implantation.
Yeah.
That's also why you put in an IUD, right? One of the best methods.
Sure. Planned Parenthood.
Excellent stuff, full of good facts. One of the best ways to prevent pregnancy,
That's what they recommend.
Yeah, so
within 5 days.
Yeah, yep, you put in a copper IUD. It makes the whole environment, not a copper, I think they recommend the hormonal one, right?
They say IUD.
They don't mention it. I think hormonal is better than the copper for this, but I'm not sure. But if you put in an IUD within that time, then it's going to make the uterus, you're making the uterus hostile to implantation.
Right. The trouble with an IUD is it's very ineffective.
IUDs are very effective.
Very effective. Within 5 days.
It's both.
IUDs are the best.
Planned Parenthood, they know.
They business. Used when I was young enough.
They used to not be as good, I think.
Quite possibly, because when I was young enough to be interested in these things, the joke was that yeah, you get a cup of tea, and the baby comes out. Look, look. This was a joke. Not a funny joke to someone who it happened.
anyway, the Ritva says the Afghan the Gavedi Day, Sharina Levo be Ilash Eva Zera, Kigoktana will bell to Skena Okara, Vilachashiva Shot of Zera, and it's not considered wasting sperm in all those situations. Shani Ihu Mishumitsutana. Right, this situation over here, this woman, the Mishnah has a problem. And I honestly should have really brought the Mishnah. I should have brought the primary text so that we could have added all this to add on to it. I apologize for not doing this correctly. The Mishnah tells me three women can use a moch, right? Can use this, whatever this contraceptive method was, but can use it. Why can they use it? Because in each situation, it's dangerous, either for the mother or for the fetus, or for the baby that she currently has, right? For whatever reason, it'll be dangerous, right? So there's a very simple solution, and apparently, I don't know if the Planned Parenthood teaches this, but
find out which one is best for you.
There you go. But the very simple way to not get pregnant. It's easy, and it works every single time. It's called abstinence, right? But a very simple solution in this Mishnah.
Only thing that can be guaranteed to work.
Exactly. It's 100% effective when utilized appropriately. But the idea is, right, the Mishnah could have easily said, there are three women that you have to use a moch because it's dangerous for them to get pregnant. How am I going to make sure that they don't get pregnant? Just tell them abstinence, right? Tell them to stay away. That's not what we say, right? Which clearly indicates that we want to make, that there is another way here to be able to sleep with someone, even if we want to make sure that we're preventing pregnancy. And that sleeping with the person is enough of a compelling enough reason to be mashchit zera. To be wasting sperm in quotes, because apparently this is not actually going to be considered wasting.
Right.
All right.
And the answer they give is the mitzvah of onah.
The mitzvah of onah is the reason why you can do it. Correct.
Right.
Yes. Because it's a mitzvah to sleep with your wife.
But it's not a mitzvah for her to sleep with her husband.
But it's not exactly right. Yeah.
Right.
This is how all these, right, any time you have someone who goes off the derech who's complaining about Judaism, right, their first complaint is that there's a rule in Judaism that we endorse marital rape, right, that the woman has to sleep with the man. It's the other way around. The mitzvah of nah is exactly as you say. So right. The man has to, if you know, has to make sure to be with his wife, not the other way around, right? But, fine. But because we want that mitzvah to be niskayim, we're still going to allow it to occur, okay? All right, I'll think of it next time. Either we'll continue with this, or maybe we'll get to actual tshuvot, analyzing how different people in recent years have analyzed abortion. Hopefully we have enough now of a background to understand where people are coming from and what it is that they're actually discussing. All right. Yashar koach, everybody.